had or have influence in our life. And sometimes we have a lot of material on an individual, and sometimes we have very little. And as I progressed in my thoughts, I kept coming back to Joseph, and I was thinking about Joseph as the father of Jesus, at least on the physical side, that he's not related to Jesus at all, but he is known as Jesus' father. And the job that he was given to do. And when you think about it, you know, as a father, I look back and I look at my children and think about the roles, responsibilities, the guidance, the leadership, the good days and the bad days. You think about all those pieces and you think about it from a humanistic point of view, and then I compare it with what Joseph went through. Here he has the Son of God that he is instructing and teaching and leading and setting an example for. And at some point in his life, Jesus would be setting an example for him. We see and we're familiar with the story when Jesus is 12 years old and they take him to the temple, which was the custom of the day. And they are on their way home, and they're about 3 days journey. They find no Jesus. They go back. They find him, and he's teaching. He's doing what he needs, what he feels he needs to do. But he instructs his father and his mother, "Do you not understand? I need to do my father's will." So he was instructed, and he was an instructor. So we see in Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25, it's one of the more detailed accounts that we see in the life of Jesus and in the life of Joseph. So verse 18, now I'll be reading out of the New American Standard. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.' And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." We see that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be celebrating here in our country a recognition for Father's Day. And several weeks ago, we did Mother's Day. So we recognize the roles and responsibilities, and we show respect for our mother and our father, which is a biblical principle. And it is a day that we honor a father, just as we in May honor a mother. But there's a lot of views about a man and what his role is and who he is and what he should be doing. Sometimes the world portrays a man as being a bumbling fool. And a lot of the shows you may watch on TV show that. They reflect that. That without a woman, a man is absolutely an idiot. He would not be able to make a good decision. And they try to convince us that that's normal. That's not normal. Father's Day is an opportunity to look at masculinity again. We need to realize it's a good thing, because it is a creation of God. God created men to be men. God created women to be women. God created women to be mothers. And God created men to be fathers. We need to remember that we are made in God's image. And that is something that we should hold in respect. But realize that that is not any, there's no other creature that was made in God's image. Only man. And it's something that we should be thankful for, that we were made in the image of God. Now some of the women may be saying, okay, why is it good to be a guy? I'm going to give you just a few examples just to think about. For a man, if you're a man, a majority of your phone conversations are done in about 30 seconds. Guys in hockey mats don't attack you unless you're playing hockey. Michael Bolton doesn't live in your universe. Some of you are going, who's Michael Bolton? Car mechanics will tell you the truth. You can admire Clint Eastwood without starving yourself to look like him. Gray hair and wrinkles only add character to a man. And if another guy shows up at a get-together in the same outfit as you, you probably will become best buddies. So that's why, in some respects, it's good to be a man. But seriously, God created fatherhood for a purpose. And there is a reason why. And where can we go to look at this? As we read in Matthew 1, we see the example of Joseph. So let's look at the characteristics of fatherhood exemplified in Joseph. First, we see that Joseph was righteous. And the text shows that he was righteous. Well, what does it mean? What does it mean to be righteous? And we look at these things, we consider this, that Jesus, again, was not biologically Joseph's son. And we see that he needed someone, though, to direct him. Mary could not have done it by herself. She needed Joseph. And just as Jesus needed Joseph, he needed Joseph to teach him what godliness is from a child up. He needed to show him how to be honest and trustworthy. He needed to show him how to pray. He needed someone to teach him to love and forgive and show compassion. He needed to show that he understood Scripture, and that so Jesus could understand Scripture. He needed to teach him a trade. And he needed to teach him what nurturing is. We look at Jesus as being an individual who was deity, which he was. But he came in the form of a man. He was born as a child. And a child has to be taught the different pieces that we teach them. No child knows how, when they first are born, to sit down and eat a steak. We know that. We know that they need to have the substance that will give them the ability to grow and develop and mature as they should. We're not going to give them something they don't need. But on their own, they cannot do it. They're on their own. When we look at Joseph and his life, we see that he had a trade. He was a carpenter by trade. Jewish tradition was, whatever the father was, that's what you became. So, I mean, if Joseph had been a fisherman, Jesus would have been a fisherman. If Joseph had been any other trade, that's what he would have learned. And that was tradition. That was what they learned. And we see that with the apostles. When Jesus goes out and seeks them, these are individuals, that's what they're doing. They're doing that specific job that they have learned. We see that he was from a working class family. Joseph was not from one of these, an individual that seemed to have had a large amount of wealth or money. But what he was chosen for was not because of that. We know, too, that Joseph himself was a descendant of David. And in this morning's discussion, Kevin was talking about Rehoboam. Rehoboam's in that list of the of the ascendance of Joseph. So Joseph and Jesus then on both sides would have been able to show that they came from the seed of David. But the fact is that God chose Joseph. He knew the man. He knew the heart of the man. He knew the individual that he could be and was. He knew he was a righteous man. And this is why we look at him as an example, because the example he set showed the things that God wanted Jesus to know. I remember myself as a child when my dad was both an evangelist and an electrician by trade. I remember imitating my father. I remember, you know, being small and you know, watching, and I'm sure that if you were to ask Al, that their children did the same thing, that you imitate your father. I can remember, you know, doing the same actions that my dad did. I can remember him pounding on the podium and me making that same kind of motion, holding up my Bible, because that's what he did. I emulated those things because that's what was shown to me. Those were the things that were set before me. I remember him also pacing behind the podium, that he would walk back and forth. I know that I do that sometimes. Sometimes I don't. But it's those pieces that you learn. You see that example. So we see that righteousness is important in fatherhood. And this may be the only reason God chose Joseph. I don't know. But we see that Joseph was a reflection of God's righteousness. Joseph was not perfect, as no one is. But his character would enable him to raise a righteous son. The next thing we would look at is Joseph. With Joseph, is that he was merciful. And what stands out in this account? What stands out that we would see, okay, that he's merciful? And we see that I went back just to do some of my own reading on betrothal. And it was a big thing. It was a huge thing. But it was also something that was very honored and respected, and it was followed. And the betrothal was a long period of time. Also, I mean, a husband and wife could be together and not actually have any type of relations with each other for up to a year or more, depending on the scenario. So we see that the example that we see here is very important. And we see the point when Joseph finds out that Mary is with child. He showed mercy in that he says, okay, I'm going to put her away quietly, privately. I'm not going to make a big deal out of this. And we know that historically we know that Joseph was probably somewhat older than Mary, and that Mary was much younger, and traditionally that did happen. But she would have been younger, he would have been older. But the piece of that she is with child would have given him the opportunity to put her away. But he doesn't say, take her out into the street corner and proclaim, you know, the what has happened, and to shame her. He doesn't do that. He shows the responsibility of, I'm going to do it quietly. I'm not going to do it in a way that would embarrass Mary more than what she may already be. And I'm sure that Joseph was disappointed, probably frustrated that this was happening. But still, he showed the proper example of mercy towards Mary. He didn't want to humiliate her, and he treated her with the respect that would have been due her. We see that the reflection of mercy is important, and that it shows us how to be merciful, and how to do those things. When we think of another example within mercy itself, I often think of the prodigal son. And when you think the story, I mean, if you were to go back to Luke, the 15th chapter, and read verses 11 through 32, is where that particular story is recorded. We see that the prodigal son is old enough to leave home. He wants to go spread his wings. He wants to leave the house. He wants to be on his own, be his own man, be in charge of his own life. So he goes. He leaves home. He squanders all of that which he has. It's gone. He has nothing left. It gets so bad that he hires himself out to a local citizen. And while working for that citizen, he is so hungry. He even considers eating the slop that he is giving to the pigs, which is pretty bad. But the text also says he came to his senses. He realized, I can change this. I don't have to live this way. I can leave. So he heads home. He heads home to where he knew he would be cared for. He knew that he would be safe. He knew he would be provided for. But along the way, and I've heard before, he humbles himself. He comes to his father. And he expresses to his dad, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he tells his father, I don't treat me as your son any longer. Treat me as you would one of the servants that you pay, or that lives in your home and enjoys the blessings of that. But just treat me as that. I'm no longer your son. But we see the father shows a great deal of love for his son, and we show that he shows mercy. That he knows that he has a wayfaring son. But to have him back home is beyond being able to express. Because he understands. Yes, you made some mistakes, but he understands to be merciful. And I'm sure that when we look at that example, the impact of it is always different. It's different on a child who's looking and saying, I'm ready to spread my wing, than it is from the parent who is watching you spread your wings. The difference is there. But we see that God is merciful to us also. And we know that he showed mercy in that he sent his only son. So we see that being merciful is not the last item that we see within Joseph. We see that he is faithful. From the little information we know about Joseph, we know that he did those things that were required of the law. The presenting of Jesus at the temple, because he is the firstborn son. Firstborn child, and so he knows he takes that the firstborn son. He has him involved with the different activities under the Jewish law. And Jesus would learn those things and be involved with them because of the example of his father. But we see also that Joseph is faithful in that when the angel comes to him and says, take Mary as your wife. He doesn't hesitate, doesn't argue. Doesn't complain, doesn't bring up any points of, she did this and this and this. He went and did what he was told to do. He was given instruction on what to name the child. He named him Jesus just as he was instructed to do. And his relationship with Mary was one of such that there was no physical contact with her until after the birth of Jesus. So he respects that piece of within those pieces. He also has more instructions that we see that he's told to move to Egypt. And he's told to stay there until I send for you. Stay there. It's for the well-being of the child. He told, and so in Matthew 2:13, where he told to move to Egypt, Matthew 2:19, move back to Israel. So Joseph does that. Matthew 2:22, he's warned by God in a dream, so he moved to Galilee. He obeyed God's commands without question. He did what he was commanded to do. And when we look at it, we think about it, of course, if you know, moving across town or across the country, we don't think that much about it. Yes, it's work, but consider that all they had to do. I mean, they didn't have, you know, a car that would take them where they wanted to go. They may have had an animal to pack some of those things on. They probably walked for a majority of it, if not all of it. So these things of being moving here and moving there, they weren't just simple things. It took work, it took effort, and it took time. But he did exactly as God had told him to do. We see that Joseph was faithful to God, and he did the thing that God had commanded him to do. Now, when we look at these things, we think about that in our relationship with God, that God is the ultimate example of what a father is. Yes, we have a physical father here, and each one of us has learned different things from that father, that we have learned different pieces of life, different pieces of instruction, things that have gone well for us, things that have not gone so well for us. But our physical father does what is best for us in every action that we do. And sometimes as the receiver of that, I've been on the end of that, you look at it and you think, I don't get that. And I don't think you do until you become a parent. But it's one of those pieces that we look at God, and God, I've thought about this more and more, is that when we look at the things that God sees upon the earth, and the number of individuals that will commit themselves to serving God, and the number of individuals who do not, what does God feel towards them? The sorrow that he experiences because they're not doing what is right, and they're not living as I would have them to live. And at some point, I will have to bring a judgment against them for the way they are living or have lived. It's something that I just cannot fully fathom, how much God goes through. So when we look at men like Joseph, we're looking at how they, or fathers, or how them themselves, strove to be godly. We see that Paul tells us to be imitators of him, just as I am of Christ. Paul says, I'm not the perfect example, but the example that I follow is. Joseph is not the ultimate example of fatherhood, but he is an example that we can use. Again, we see the bottom line is that God is the ultimate model of a father. It's our responsibility to realize that God is righteous, God is merciful, God is faithful, and most importantly, he is our Father. And I hope today that what I've shared with you will help us to realize the examples that God gives us in his word. Although we have very little knowledge, physical knowledge, of what Joseph was like, we can see the kind of man that he was. It really impressed me, the piece of where he decides to not put Mary away in a public manner. That would have taken a lot of strength and commitment. had a desire, and actually, especially after the angel tells him no, not to do that. But still, it's just the attitude of the individual. And we see that we can be influenced by righteous men, by merciful men, and by faithful men. The lesson was not designed for an individual who's not a Christian. But if you are not a Christian and you realize I need to make change in my life, I need to be the kind of person that we see with Joseph, and we see with Peter, and we see with Paul, and we see with all the other individuals that we can study about in God's Word, that I want to make that change. Or as a Christian, we say, I've not been the example that I need to be. I've not been the type of person that God says, I want you to be this type of person. We're asking whatever it is that you need, whatever scenario, we ask that you would come forward as we stand and sing.